This is the Tao of Poo, part two. The Tao of Who. We were discussing the definition of wisdom late one night, and we were just about to fall asleep from it all, when Poo remarked that his understanding of Taoist principles had been passed down to him from certain ancient ancestors. Like who, I ask? Like Pu Daozi, the famous Chinese painter, Pu said. That's Wu Daozi. Or how about Li Pu, the famous Taoist poet, Pu asked cautiously. You mean Li Po, I said. Oh, said Pu, looking down at his feet. Then I thought of something. That doesn't really matter anyway, I said, because one of the most important principles of Taoism was named after you. Really? Pu asked, looking more hopeful. Of course, Pu, the uncarved block. I'd forgotten, said Pu. So here we are, about to try to explain Pu, the uncarved block. In the classic Taoist manner, we won't try too hard or explain too much, because that would only confuse things, and because it would leave the impression that it was all only an intellectual idea that could be left on the intellectual level and ignored. Then you could say, well, this idea is all very nice, but what does it amount to? So instead, we will try to show what it amounts to in various ways. Pu, by the way, is pronounced sort of like poo, but without so much oo, like the sound you make when blowing a bug off your arm on a hot summer day. Before we bring our resident expert in for a few illuminating remarks, let's explain something. The essence of the principle of the uncarved block is that things in their original simplicity contain their own natural power, power that is easily spoiled and lost when that simplicity is changed. For the written character Pu, the typical Chinese dictionary will give a definition of natural, simple, plain, honest. Pu is composed of two separate characters combined. The first, the radical, or root meaning one, is that for tree or wood. The second, the phonetic or sound giving one, is the character for dense growth or thicket. So from tree in a thicket or wood not cut comes the meaning of things in their natural state, what is generally represented in English versions of Taoist writing as the uncarved block. This basic Taoist principle applies not only to things in their natural beauty and function, but also to people as well, or bears. Which brings us to Pu, the very epitome of the uncarved block. As an illustration of the principle, he may appear a bit too simple at times. I think it's more to the right, said Piglet nervously. What do you think, Pooh? Pooh looked at his two paws. He knew that one of them was the right, and he knew that when you had decided which one of them was the right, then the other one was the left, but he never could remember how to begin. Well, he said slowly. But no matter how he may seem to others, especially to those fooled by appearances, Pu, the uncarved block, is able to accomplish what he does because he is simple-minded. As any old Taoist walking out of the woods can tell you, simple-minded does not necessarily mean stupid. It's rather significant that the Taoist ideal is that of the still, calm, reflecting, mirror mind of the uncarved block, and it's rather significant that Pooh, rather than the thinker's rabbit, owl, or Eeyore, is the true hero of Winnie the Pooh and the house at Pooh Corner. "The fact is," said Rabbit, "we've missed our way somehow." They were having a rest in a small sand pit on the top of the forest. Pooh was getting rather tired of that sand pit and suspected it of following them about, because whichever direction they started in, they always ended up at it, and each time, as it came through the mist at them, Rabbit said triumphantly, "Now I know where we are." And Pooh said sadly, "So do I." And Piglet said nothing. He had tried to think of something to say, but the only thing he could think of was, "Help, help." And it seemed silly to say that when he had Pooh and Rabbit with him. "Well," said Rabbit, after a long silence in which nobody thanked him for the nice walk they were having, "we'd better get on, I suppose. Which way shall we try?" "How would it be," said Pooh slowly, "if, as soon as we're out of sight of this pit, we try to find it again?" "What's the good of that?" said Rabbit. "Well," said Pooh, "we keep looking for home and not finding it, so I thought that if we looked for this pit, we'd be sure not to find it, which would be a good thing, because then we might find something we weren't looking for, which might be just what we were looking for, really." "I don't see much sense in that," said Rabbit. "If I walked away from this pit and then walked back to it, of course I should find it." "Well, I thought perhaps you wouldn't," said Pooh. "I just thought." "Try," said Piglet suddenly. "We'll wait here for you." Rabbit gave a laugh to show how silly Piglet was, and he walked into the mist. After he had gone 100 yards, he turned and walked back again. And after Pooh and Piglet had waited 20 minutes for him, Pooh got up. "I just thought," said Pooh. "Now then, Piglet, let's go home." "But Pooh," cried Piglet, all excited, "do you know the way?" "No," said Pooh, "but there are 12 pots of honey in my cupboard, and they've been calling to me for hours. I couldn't hear them properly before, because Rabbit would talk. But if nobody says anything except those 12 pots, I think, Piglet, I shall know where they're calling from. Come on." They walked off together, and for a long time Piglet said nothing, so as not to interrupt the pots, and then suddenly he made a squeaky noise, and an ooh noise, because now he began to know where he was. But he still didn't dare to say so out loud, in case he wasn't. And just when he was getting so sure of himself that it didn't matter whether the pots went on calling or not, there was a shout in front of them, and out of the mist came Christopher Robin. After all, if it were cleverness that counted most, Rabbit would be number one instead of that bear. But that's not the way things work. "We've come to wish you a very happy Thursday," said Pooh, when he had gone in and out once or twice to make sure that he could get out again. "Why, what's going to happen on Thursday?" asked Rabbit. And when Pooh had explained, and Rabbit, whose life was made up of important things, said, "Oh, I thought you'd really come about something." They sat down for a little, and by, Pooh and Piglet went on again. The wind was behind them now, so they didn't have to shout. "Rabbit's clever," said Pooh thoughtfully. "Yes," said Piglet, "Rabbit's clever." "And he has brain." "Yes," said Piglet, "Rabbit has brain." There was a long silence. I suppose, said Pooh. That's why he never understands anything. And if Clever Rabbit doesn't have quite what it takes, Abrasive Eeyore certainly doesn't either. Why not? Because of what we could call the Eeyore attitude. You might say that while Rabbit's little routine is that of knowledge for the sake of being clever, and while Owl's is that of knowledge for the sake of appearing wise, Eeyore's is knowledge for the sake of complaining about something. As anyone who doesn't have it can see, the Eeyore attitude gets in the way of things like wisdom and happiness, and pretty much prevents any sort of real accomplishment in life. Eeyore, the old gray donkey, stood by the side of the stream and looked at himself in the water. Pathetic, he said. That's what it is. Pathetic. He turned and walked slowly down the stream for 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again. As I thought, he said, no better from this side, but nobody minds. Nobody cares. Pathetic, that's what it is. There was a crackling noise in the bracken behind him, and out came Pooh. Good morning, Eeyore, said Pooh. Good morning, Pooh Bear, said Eeyore gloomily. If it is a good morning, he said. Which I doubt, said he. Why, what's the matter? Nothing, Pooh Bear, nothing. We can't all, and some of us don't. That's all there is to it. It's not that the Eeyore attitude is necessarily without a certain severe sort of humor. Hello, Eeyore, they called out cheerfully. Ah, said Eeyore, lost your way? We just came to see you, said Piglet, and to see how your house was. Look, Pooh, it's still standing. I know, said Eeyore. Very odd. Somebody ought to have come and pushed it over. We wondered whether the wind would blow it down, said Pooh. Ah, that's why nobody's bothered, I suppose. I thought perhaps they'd forgotten. It's just that it's really not so awfully much fun. Not like a few other points of view we can think of. A little too complex or something. After all, what is it about Pooh that makes him so lovable? Well, to begin with, said Pooh. Yes, well, to begin with, we have the principle of the uncarved block. After all, what is the most appealing thing about Pooh? What else but, well, to begin with, simplicity. The simplicity of the uncarved block. And the nicest thing about that simplicity is its useful wisdom, the what is there to eat variety, wisdom you can get at. Considering that, let's have Pooh describe the nature of the uncarved block. All right, Pooh, what can you tell us about the uncarved block? The what? Asked Pooh, sitting up suddenly and opening his eyes. The uncarved block. You know. Oh. What do you have to say about it? I didn't do it, said Pooh. It must have been Piglet, he said. I did not, squeaked Piglet. Oh, Piglet, where did you... I didn't, Piglet said. Well, then, it was probably Rabbit, said Pooh. It wasn't me, Piglet insisted. Did someone call? Said Rabbit, popping up from behind a chair. Oh, Rabbit, I said. We're talking about the uncarved block. Haven't seen it, said Rabbit, but I'll go ask Owl. That won't be Ness, I began. Too late now, Pooh said. He's gone. I never even heard of the uncarved block, said Piglet. Neither did I, said Pooh, rubbing his ear. It's just a figure of speech, I said. A what of a who? Asked Pooh. A figure of speech. It means that, well, the uncarved block is a way of saying, like Pooh. Oh, is that all? Said Piglet. I wondered, said Pooh. Pooh can't describe the uncarved block to us in words. He just is it. That's the nature of the uncarved block. A perfect description. Thank you, Pooh. Not at all, said Pooh. When you discard arrogance, complexity, and a few other things that get in the way, sooner or later you will discover that simple, childlike, and mysterious secret known to those of the uncarved block. Life is fun. Now, one autumn morning, when the wind had blown all the leaves off the trees in the night and was trying to blow the branches off, Pooh and Piglet were sitting in the thoughtful spot and wondering. What I think, said Pooh, is I think we'll go down to Pooh Corner and see Eeyore. Because perhaps his house has been blown down, and perhaps he'd like us to build it again. What I think, said Piglet, is I think we'll go and see Christopher Robin, only he won't be there, so we can't. Let's go and see everybody, said Pooh, because when you've been walking in the wind for miles, and you suddenly go into somebody's house, and he says, Hello, Pooh, you're just in time for a little smackerel of something, and you are, then it's what I call a friendly day. Piglet thought that they ought to have a reason for going to see everybody, like looking for small or organizing an expedition, if Pooh could think of something. Pooh could. We'll go because it's Thursday, he said. And we'll go to wish everybody a very happy Thursday. Come on, Piglet. From the state of the uncarved block comes the ability to enjoy the simple and the quiet, the natural and the plain. Along with that comes the ability to do things spontaneously and have them work, oddly as that may appear to others at times. As Piglet put it in Winnie the Pooh, Pooh hasn't much brain, but he never comes to any harm. He does silly things, and they turn out right. To understand all this a little better, it might help to look at someone who is quite the opposite. Someone like, well, say, Owl, for example. Good night.